You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk to Wisconsin's Department of Corrections Secretary about the use of solitary confinement in youth prisons.
First, on any given day, we might see a lot of people we don't know well or know at all. People walking on the sidewalk, the neighbor from down the street, the clerk at the store, the delivery person at work. For the most part, we probably don't interact with them a whole lot.
Our next guest says that's a lot of missed opportunities and that if we talked to some of those strangers, our lives would be better and more interesting.
Keo Stark joins us now. She's the author of the book, When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform Your Life. Keo, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
What got you started, Keo, talking with strangers?
Oh, it's funny. I grew up in a family where really that was part of our culture. Everyone talked to strangers, and I was well into my probably mid-20s before I realized that this was not a, you know, the way that everyone was raised, and it wasn't a completely universal sentiment that it was a good thing to talk to strangers. So that was when I really started to pay attention to why and what other people were doing.
In a nutshell, what do you think we get out of those interactions? I mean, in most cases, probably we don't become besties with the strangers that we talk to. So kind of what's in it for us?
Sure. So what I'm interested in actually has nothing to do with the becoming besties and getting close to people and, you know, repeated interactions. I'm really interested in these very specific fleeting moments. And I think that when you start to experience that and pay attention to it, you realize that you're getting a couple of really important things out of it. The first thing you're getting is a sense of intimacy. And this seems like a paradox because these are people you don't know very well. But when we talk about this need for closeness, for intimacy, we're talking in part about connectedness and belonging. And it's one of the really unusual and kind of exciting things about when you have a good interaction with a stranger. You have this momentary sense of belonging and connectedness. And this can come even from just exchanging a smile with someone on the street. You can certainly get it if you have a kind of more extended conversation. So that's one part of it. The other part of it that I think is really important is the way in which when we expose ourselves and open ourselves up to people who are different than we are, it really changes our understanding of them and kind of opens up our realm of social possibility.
Right. You write that there are political and social benefits, or there would be if more of us did this, if we talk to people who we don't know and people who are different than ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the idea of talking to people who are different than we are has gained, since I wrote the book, such intense importance in, you know, the wake of the election and the kind of fear and prejudice that is really coming to flower, unfortunately, in a lot of parts of the country. So I think, you know, when we talk to a stranger who's different than we are, you get kind of forced to treat them and understand them as an individual with a context, with beliefs, with thoughts, with feelings, with emotions, and not as a member of a category, not as a stereotype. And that in and of itself, that focus on the individual really is a moment of possibility for all of us.
We've also been hearing over the past, I guess, decade or so that America is becoming a lonelier place. There was the book Bowling Alone, other people writing about how people kind of live in their own little pods and don't bust out of them. They've got their earbuds in. Does this help treat loneliness the way we might feel separated from people?
I think it does in a lot of ways. I mean, when we talk about loneliness in that way of kind of isolation, I think we're talking about kind of alienation from a feeling of community. And the more that you do talk to strangers, to even just, you know, exchange smiles, greet people, say hello, that brings us back into a feeling of being part of a community, of kind of being in this together. And I think that does really cut back on one facet of this loneliness, and it's definitely the bowling alone kind of loneliness. You know, there's also the loneliness of the heart, you know, when somebody is separated from their family, and I think that's different.
We're talking about talking with strangers. Keo Stark is with us. Her book is When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform Your Life. Keo, we've talked about why talking to strangers can help us out. Let's get into how. Now, not all of us grew up like you, wanting to just talk to other people randomly. Some of us are maybe introverts or shy. How do we get started? How do we make some of the first steps toward talking to, you know, the person at the counter, the person on the bus, whatever?
Sure. So it's a great question. And, you know, it's all easy for me to say, go talk to strangers when it's a part of the great pleasure of my life. But yeah, I think one of the things, if you're, you know, just trying to change your orientation towards public space and make contact with people, is to first pay attention to how people do interact in the places where you're going and you know, coming across people. So you could take a walk and you don't have to talk to anybody, let's say through the park, but watch what people are doing and when they do say hello to each other and when they don't. And try to get a feeling of that, of what the kind of local rules are, to give yourself some confidence. Because we're all operating by these sort of unwritten rules of any given place. And once you can see them, they're invisible. We don't really talk about them, but we all know what they are. And once you start to see them, it gives you a lot more confidence. I think another thing, if you're nervous about like feeling awkward or feeling rejected, one of my favorite pieces of advice is just go somewhere where you're not in your ordinary path. So go to a different neighborhood or a different park than you usually go to, a different dog run, whatever it might be, and try it out there. Because if you feel awkward or any other kind of negative feeling, you're not going to see those people again. You know, you're not going to walk back by that park and have someone say like, oh, that's that weird person who said hello to me. There's one other thing that's really, really important, and that is having a sensitivity to people who don't want to be talked to. So there's a lot of context and a lot of reasons why somebody might want everyone to leave them alone. And the main signal of that is somebody who's not making eye contact. If people aren't making eye contact, just don't do it. Don't talk to them. You know, you're looking for people who are making eye contact, which is the way that somebody shows themselves to be open.
You were talking before about how you're interested in these moments of flash intimacy. Can you tell us a story or two where you actually feel like these conversations went well and you had that moment of feeling really connected with somebody?
Sure. I mean, you know, the other day, it's been kind of winter here. I'm in New York City. And it's that point in winter where everyone's a little depressed and dreary. And I walked by somebody on my block and said hello to them. And there was a guy sitting on a stoop a few doors down. And he looked up and said hello. And he smiled and he was like, see, it's like dominoes. You say hello and then everybody says hello. And I was like, yes, that's exactly how it should work. Another thing that I've noticed lately in terms of longer conversations, you know, there's this sort of triteness of like, who wants to talk about the weather? The weather's boring. And I think there is a certain sort of social meaning to saying, oh, hey, it's a nice day, isn't it? It's just this basic acknowledgement. But a longer conversation, okay, nobody wants to talk about that. What I've found is if you talk about food, you get pretty much straight into like the meaning of life. this is not something I knew. This is something I've learned in the past like 6 weeks. I think I had several conversations. One guy was talking about, it's a nice day for fishing. I said, do you fish? He's telling me how to cook the fish. He's talking about his entire worldview about health. Another guy, I told him I was a vegetarian, and we ended up getting into Islam and the slaughter of lambs and his political views. And he was from Egypt. You know, it's like it's some kind of mainline into people's a kind of openness about who people really are.
We're talking with Keo Stark right now. She's the author of When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform You. She says we get a lot out of talking to strangers.
And we want to hear from you about this at 800-642-1234. Do you talk to strangers? What kind of reactions do you get? And what, if anything, do you get out of it? Do you like it when people strike up conversations with you or even just say hi? Or would you rather not? And do you have questions for our guests about how to get started? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Keo Stark. She's the author of the book When Strangers Meet. She says we can get a lot out of talking to strangers, and she's sharing some advice on how to do it.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you like to talk to strangers, or do you kind of go out of your way to avoid it? Have you learned something by striking up a conversation with somebody you didn't know? Or do you have questions for our guest about how to get started and give it a whirl talking to somebody who's a stranger? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers. Anthony is with us in Green Bay. Anthony, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Anthony?
I just wanted to tell you about my experience of talking with strangers. I know a lot of times people don't enjoy engaging in conversation, but I really think it's intriguing when you get to see all walks of life, even if they aren't interested in you.
Kind of breaking up there, Anthony, but Anthony's saying he finds it intriguing meeting people from different walks of life, even in just brief conversations, Keo, and that's part of what it's all about.
I absolutely agree, yeah, and I think, you know, one thing, when you're walking around the world and you're talking to strangers, you are in this kind of open moment, and it really can spark your curiosity. And, you know, I feel like everybody needs more of that.
I used to hear from my friends who had visited Ireland often that they felt that Americans were bad at talking to strangers, but that in Ireland, everyone struck up conversations with people, and it was just what you did there, and it made for a more pleasant daily existence. Do you think there's something to that? Is there something about how Americans feel less comfortable talking to strangers?
Well, there are definitely different conventions in different countries and different cultures. I think that Americans tend to have a more awkward relationship to talking to strangers than people do in other cultures where it's just, you know, part of what everyone does. In the Middle East, for example, it would be considered rude not to say hello to a stranger. You know, you're likely to be invited back to someone's house for coffee if you ask them for directions. You know, in other places, in Germany, and these are wild generalizations, but, you know, they've been kind of confirmed to me and anecdotally expressed. In Germany, there are things that are more and less appropriate to ask a stranger. So if you're striking up a conversation with someone, we ask each other all the time in America, like, oh, what do you do for a living? And that would be quite rude. That would be like, why do you want to know? That's very nosy. But people are happy to talk about, like, logistical things. How did you get here to this party? You know, what, you know, did you take the subway or a car? How long did it take you? Was there traffic? Like, that's all fair game and reasonable territory.
We'll go back to our callers now. Darlene with us in Oshkosh. Darlene, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Darlene?
Well, I love talking to strangers, and so has my mother. And it is true, you got to make the eye contact. I smile, I get smiles in return. And sometimes, even in a checkout line, like after Christmas this year, there's a young gentleman behind me, and he's probably in his 30s, and I'm a grandma. And so we were talking, because we made great eye contact, and eventually I asked him, well, what was your best Christmas gift, if you can share it? And he said, the birth of my son.
Wow.
Oh, I know. And it was just like, oh, my God, really? And then we started talking, and it was wonderful. I still have a warm feeling talking about that.
And now you have a story to share yourself, Darlene.
I do.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us. Keo, yeah, we get these little, I don't know, vignettes, these little glimpses into other people's lives.
Well, and what I really love about that story is you asked such a great question. I mean, there are questions that give people an opportunity to tell you something really true and honest about themselves. And you hit on one of those kind of questions. What's the best present you got for Christmas? Is an invitation to tell a personal story. I love that.
Are there other good questions like that that you recommend?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It really depends on the situation. Like, that was a kind of brilliant situational question. I would rather ask somebody, like, what they had for lunch than ask them what they do for a living. When I meet somebody at you know, some sort of formal event, I often ask them what they did today rather than ask them what they do for a living or what their job is or where they live. Because that, you know, chances are there's a story in what you did today. Even if it's one person said to me, like, you know, I answered emails all day. And I asked him at that point, what's your job? And he said, I'm a figurehead. He worked for a small company. you know, like his job was just to be present and be the face of something. And we got in an interesting conversation about what that feels like. So that's one of my favorite things, is kind of taking the expected question and trying to open it up to allow something more personal.
Let's take another phone call here. We've got Amy on the line with us in Milwaukee. Amy, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my husband and I both talk to strangers on a regular basis. I'll go for a walk in the parkway in the morning, and just as I'm passing somebody, I will say, good morning, and the look on their face of surprise that somebody actually said good morning to them, and then when they say good morning back to me, I kind of give myself a thumbs up, because it's kind of my goal to get somebody to say something back to me. Because in today's world, you know, people have tunnel vision, especially with their earbuds in and everything. And so it's like my personal goal that somebody says hello back to me. And it actually makes my day then, too. And my husband, no matter where he goes, he always strikes up a conversation with people. And it's sometimes in doing so, you find out what a small world this actually is, because he's come in with conversations with total strangers, and all of a sudden it's, well, where'd you go to high school? And then they tell each other, oh, did you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I've known them for years. And, you know, it's the 6 degrees of separation, I think that's what it is. And it's just kind of refreshing, and I just think it makes the world a kinder place. And when you make that eye contact, you take that edge off.
Amy, thanks for sharing all those experiences. So Amy's made it a goal in life to get people to respond to her, which makes me wonder, is this kind of hard, though? Do a lot of people not want to talk? Kyle?
I think that it really varies, again, by situation. But I agree that moment where someone is surprised and appreciative that you've said hello to them, that you've kind of recognized their humanity, is really wonderful. And you know, when they return it, it's this moment of mutual recognition. And I think that's the tiny moments of this feeling of connectedness that I'm talking about. And it's so great to hear all these people talking about how much they love this. One thing that I also think about a lot is, again, for people who this is not second nature. And in When Strangers Meet, there's a series of what I call expeditions to give you a kind of contrivance to go out in the world and talk to people in different ways. And I think that those are in varying levels of difficulty, so they may be really fun also for people who do this all the time but want to push things further.
Thanks for the call, Amy. Talking to Keo Stark, author of the book When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform You. And we've got Ken with us next, calling from Madison. Ken, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Do you talk to strangers?
I do. I'm a little older than maybe some of your guests. I'm 68, and when I was growing up, that was just what you did. You know, you sat down on the bus or on the train or the plane. You were expected to talk to the person next to you because they didn't have cell phones and laptops. It was just the sort of thing that you did. And so I still expect to do that, but like last summer when I went to Brazil for the Olympics, I looked around the airport. Everybody there had their head down, and they're looking at their cell phone or their laptop. And it's really hard to strike up a conversation with somebody who's doing their best to, you know, ignore the rest of the world.
Ken, thanks a lot for that call. And Keo, I'll admit, on a plane, I'll have a book ready to rock and look at it. And I think I may be doing it partly as a barrier to conversation. How do we overcome that? How do we put down the book or technology and open ourselves up to this?
Well, you know what? On a plane, I do the same thing. Like, you're stuck on a plane if you open yourself up to having a conversation with someone and you find them really irritating. You've got a long plane ride ahead of you. So, you know, we definitely use conversation shields appropriately. But I think you do want to think about how much of the time you spend with your nose and your phone, and try to just promise yourself, all right, I'm going to if you walk to work, you know, I'm going to walk 3 blocks with my phone in my pocket. I'm going to challenge myself. If I'm riding the bus, like, I'm going to not listen to my headphones and see what how that feels and what happens. You know, we rely on these things to make us feel safe in a way, emotionally safe. And so it's a little bit of a risk to put them down, but I encourage everyone to give that a try.
Let's take one more quick call from Joan in Madison. Joan, hi.
Hi. I was just going to share that I'm the youngest of 5 girls in my family, and my sisters always tease me that I view the entire world as a friend waiting to happen. And they generally get irritated with me, and it makes me laugh because why wouldn't you want to say hello to, there's certain circumstances where you're not going to, but I guess it just makes me feel bad for them that they don't want to be out there talking to other people and perhaps meeting someone interesting. And then my comment or question was, in our children, my daughter will be different because of who I am, but with the way we raise our children and having fear of strangers and to be careful, do you see that this is going to become even more of a lost art?
Joan, thanks for that. And just a couple seconds for your response, Kyle.
I'm campaigning against it being a lost art. And I think, you know, we need to model for our children that it's okay to talk to strangers, and also what the boundaries are of appropriateness and safety.
We'll leave it there. Keo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're talking to Keo Stark. She's the author of the book When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform You. On the Central Time Facebook page, we have a link to an article she wrote about talking to people while traveling in particular. And while you're there, you can share your thoughts and the stories you've heard, maybe, while talking to strangers.